Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Please enjoy this message and happy Independence Day from First Conservative Baptist Church.
This article says, unlike many pastors today, ministers in our founding era spoke out strongly on political matters. Peter Muhlenberg was one of those great supporters of America's independence and worked to the width and the breadth between the colonies and the king. With hostilities about to break out in 1776, he summoned his congregation for his last sermon. The sermon was on Ecclesiastes 3, a time for everything under the heaven. Reaching the climax of his sermon, he shouted, "There is a time for all things, a time to preach and a time to fight. Now is the time to fight." With those immortal words, he cast aside his clerical robes, revealing his dazzling uniform as an officer in the Revolutionary War. That day he enlisted men in his congregation. In fact, I understand by other historical records about 300. That day he enlisted men in his congregation to join the cause. Peter went on the way to win glory as Major General, serving in numerous engagements. He proved himself a courageous, level-headed officer, strict in discipline, but vigilant for the welfare and the comfort of his men, and was possessed of a mark of executive ability. Among the Germans of his native state of Pennsylvania, he was a hero second only to George Washington. He was elected to the 1st, 3rd, and the 6th Congressional Congresses and later served in the Senate. His statue stands in the famous Statuary Hall in our nation's capital. His brother, this is the key to it, his brother, Frederick Muhlenberg, also a pastor, disagreed with his brother's stand on political issues. Disagreed with Peter's decision to be involved in politics and in the war. But during the war, he was in New York when the British marched in on the city, forcing him and his family to flee with his parents' home in Pennsylvania. Frederick Muhlenberg changed his mind and became involved. He became active in the Pennsylvania politics. That took place when they burned his home and his church. And he realized it's time to do something about it. He was elected to the U.S. Congress and became the first Speaker of the House of Representatives. He was also the first signer of the Bill of Rights. I don't know what that says to you, but we need more men like Peter Muhlenberg that'll take a stand for God, will take a stand for the Word of God, and take a stand for our nation. May I remind us, as stated just a moment ago, we need to recognize what is needed and what we need to do. Thomas Jefferson said, "The price of freedom is eternal vigilance." What are believers doing today? How should we then live, as Ezekiel said in Ezekiel 33:10? How should we then live? I believe we must be cautious. We need to caution others. We need to recognize what is taking place and confront the evil, wicked corruption in our political leadership. I believe it's time that our nation and our future for our family and our freedom take a stand as Christians and conservatives as they've never had, never done before. Most Christians sing the song, "Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before," not even realizing that we are in a constant battle. And we talk about the different parties, and that's true. We talk about the different leaders of the failure to lead. But we're faced with a demonic, satanic battle that's ever, ever present and shall not cease until we're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. I think it's time we stop sitting down. I think it's time we stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen. I think it's time that we be vigilant in doing what God's called us to do. Isaiah 58:1 gives us the clear directions on what we need to do. Listen, number one, we need to confront sin. Confront sin. Our politicians and others believe that Christians should stay in the church. You know, it's okay to pray. It's okay to call Jesus' name. It's okay to simply rejoice as long as you do it in that little building called a church house. But God forbid that you do it out in the public. God forbid that you do it at a city council meeting. God forbid that we stand and speak the truth out in the general public. That's the mindset that we have today. We need to confront sin. How do we confront it? First of all, unashamedly. unashamedly. Cry aloud. That Hebrew word literally means with a full throat, a loud, audible, open voice of challenging and confronting sin in our nation. I'm glad to see a lot of the rancorous anti-gods mindsets that's in D.C. deciding to retire. I think President Trump has had a little telephone connection with two or three of them. Just this week, I think two that had been in the House for many, many, many years decided they're going to retire because he told them that if you vote against the big, beautiful bill, we're going to put you out. We need to stand and speak, cry aloud, unashamedly, and call sin, sin. The Jerusalem Bible says of that text, cry aloud. Jerusalem Bible says to shout for all your worth. How many Christians today willing to confront sin? Willing, listen, back in the 1700s, pastors would preach a message from the pulpit on Sunday, chiding and castigating their local leaders for the sin in their lives. That would be set by hand-set type and then run off with a roller ink blade and paper over it and put that on the marquee in the city square of that town to let everybody know what the preacher said about the mayor of the city of that day. That would be called disinformation and misinformation today. Cry aloud. It's sad to find so many so-called Christians today willing to be comfortable in our society or to just say it is not politically correct to say anything, do anything when a politician will say something or do something that is not, how would you say, appropriate with the woke culture that we're in. We're to shout from the top of the roof houses that abortion is murder, sodomy is a sin, homosexual marriages is unbiblical and it's abomination, Islam is demonic, drugs and gambling are absolutely unholy and ungodly in our nation. Our Bible is absolutely to be, we need to stand on our Bible absolutely and without any fear or favor in what we say and what we do in relationship to it. Our Bible today is being demeaned and denied and degraded and discarded. We need to tell people life begins at conception. It's not just a blob in the womb. It's not just tissue. It's a human being that God has created. You know the reason the Social Security Administration is about bankrupt? About 65 to 70 million that have been murdered would be now at the age of producing and paying taxes into the tax system for Social Security. We're destroying ourselves as a nation, and that is called a right by the left. It is not a right, it's wrong, it's murder. We stand at the crossroads as a nation today. Do we stand for murder of babies or the sanctity of life? Do we stand for the right to keep and bear arms or the disarmament and the control as a dictatorial system in our nation? Do we stand for our Constitution and the religious liberties and the freedom of speech? Or do we stand for Christian persecution and prosecution and banning of Bibles and the underground church becoming the only way that we could worship? Do we place in office unelected, black-robed tyrants dictating laws and dissecting and destroying our liberties? Do you realize we've got three branches of government? Supreme Court's not the ruling branch. You realize the Supreme Court cannot make law? Do you understand that the Supreme Court can only render an opinion? It was Andrew Jackson as president when they made a decision, rendered an opinion that was against his position for leadership. His quip back to them, that's your opinion, now enforce it. Somehow, some way, we've devolved to the position that the Supreme Court is the final answer. Do you realize Donald J. Trump and his 47th president, just for what, 6 months now? There's been about 283 suits filed with about 203 injunctions filed as a result of his movement and his leadership trying to drain the swamp and clear the sewer in our nation. And these judges, circuit court judges, listen, we've got 673 circuit court judges. They all work for Chief Justice John Roberts. Do you understand that? They have the authority in their circuit. When a case is brought, they can hear it out of their circuit. and rule and make a decision. Their circuit is perhaps in some cases, as I have called it, a little judge and a little court and a little office and a little courthouse and a little county and a little town with a little circuit trying to rule and control the executive branch, which is unconstitutional. And Justice John Roberts, Chief Justice, just tried to rein that in recently. And one of these little idiot judges, if I can be bold, said, no, you can't tell me that I can't rule the White House, and has issued another order that President Trump is supposed to listen to, and it is absolutely unconstitutional. I've said the whole time, hundreds of times on the broadcast in the past several months now, that our president needs to simply say, as Andrew Jackson did, that's your opinion, now try to enforce it. Some say, well, you know, you can't do it. Yes, he can. That's based on our system of constitutional republic with the representative form of government that we have. We're not in a democracy. We're devolving to a democracy. We're still in a constitutional republic today. How do we stand? What are we going to do? Will we stand unashamedly and call sin, sin, and to, with a full throat, point out sin in the lives of those that are supposed to be our leaders? What do we do? How do we respond to it? Our present mayor has just recently said that with the law that was about to be signed, and she refused to sign it, in fact, vetoed the bill, and the bill that she vetoed will now allow the city of Jacksonville, Florida, to become a sanctuary city. She, in fact, had the chief counsel, the general counsel's office, to send a letter to the sheriff admonishing him not to ask anybody's stand whether they're legal or illegal and not to arrest them. He said, I'm elected by the people. I'm a constitutionally elected sheriff. I will do as the law says in the state of Florida. I said on the radio broadcast, contact the governor's office. Contact the attorney general's office. Say, prosecute the mayor. We have a law in the state of Florida that says you can't have a city that's going to be the shelter for those that are illegals coming in. We have the position somehow, some way, as Christians, we need to be silent and say, don't bother with those things. That's the responsibility of the politicians. No, it's not. It's we, the people, that have the responsibility to control those that we put into office that are to be there to carry out the will of the people, not the will of the politicians and what they were at the crossroads in America today. How do we stand? What will we do with our Constitution? America's standing at those crossroads today. Abraham Lincoln said this, we, the people, are the rightful masters of both Congress and the courts. Not to overthrow the Constitution, but to overthrow men who pervert the Constitution. I believe that ought to be screamed from the highest mountaintop even today. Henry David Thoreau says this, what is the use of a house if we haven't got a tolerable planet to put it on? I must say this. If you wondered what's caused our weather problems that's so different and unique, did you realize in the state of Florida we just passed a law instigated by Governor DeSantis that makes it illegal to seed the clouds in the state of Florida? They're having major flooding right now. At least 27 young girls have lost their lives at a girls' camp because of the major floods. And that's highly unusual. When you go back and look at the weather patterns, and if you understand the things that the clouds are being seeded with and the end results, we're witnessing it and watching it today. And Christians and conservatives are silent. So that's not our area of responsibility. Yes, it is. We need to say something as we confront sin. We need to do so unashamedly. We need to do so also unrestrained. Spare not. That is, do not hold back. Don't be fearful. Don't leave someone out. Don't leave some special group out. Don't leave some special sin out. But every sin we need to confront, and we need to do so unashamedly and unrestrained. We had the most immoral, ungodly, debased, debauched executive office that's ever seen in the lifetime under Joe Biden. He surrendered America to our enemies. Again, the creator of the MRI said this, America needs to realize that any country runs off its spiritual batteries, not off its bank account, and when those batteries are drained, the bank account is also empty. We're at the crossroads today. There's a consecrated effort today from the socialists, the Marxists, the communists, and the left to silence the voice of Christians, to silence those who advocate for strength and submission and surrender to God. Our nation is being duped into believing that somehow, some way, we should be disarmed. Listen to this quote. This year, as you listen, before I get to the end of it, determine who made this statement. This year will go down in history. For the first time, a civilized nation has full gun registration. Our streets will be safer, our police more efficient, and the world will follow our lead into the future. 1938, Adolf Hitler. And we're headed to that today. As Christians and conservatives realize what God has given us, the blessing of our nation that God has provided for us. And we say, God bless America, and somehow, some way think that that should be left up to the politicians then. We should also not only confront sin unashamed and unrestrained, but unambiguous. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet that is clear, concise, unambiguously, and show, that is to point out, to identify, and to definitely say, my people, show my people their transgression. It's rare to find anybody on television, so-called preachers, that'll say anything about sin. That if you sin, you're going to die and go to a devil's hell. Somehow, some way, the mindset is that the devil is that little thin guy in a red tight suit with a pointed pitchfork and a pointed tail, and he's the devil. Ladies and gentlemen, listen carefully. Dr. Billy Graham in 1975, in his little book called Angels, a little small pocket-sized book, said, listen, when you go to church, you need to understand that it's not just the Holy Spirit of God present, but Satan is ever present in that unseen world trying to destroy and tear down what God's wanting to do in your life as a Christian. I think as Christians, we fail to recognize that, that we're in a demonic warfare, we're in a demonic battle. We need to put on the whole armor of God, and to, after we've armored up, according to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, 11, 12, and 13, having done all, stand. You can't fight a battle seated. You can't fight a battle until you know the enemy. You can't fight in a Christian army until you know the definition and the characteristics of the enemy. And we're faced with the enemies of God today to tear down and destroy our nation, to destroy our homes, destroy our churches, destroy our families. And we need to call sin, sin. We need to do so openly, unambiguously. And we need to tell the world, this is what God's word says. We need to depend on God. We need to place God first. We need to say yes to the Lord. I am always amazed and challenged and encouraged when I think about Isaiah and Isaiah 6, where he says, here am I, send me. That's what God is calling today in the Christian heart and the Christian life. God is saying, I want one that will stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen. I want Christians that will be the army that will go out and fight the battle in the old world that we're living in today, that will stand for righteousness and will honor me. Confront sin. And according to Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 6 and following, we've been preaching through the book of Nehemiah. Fantastic book. But in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, for your edification, let me read that for us. Nehemiah 1, verse 6 and 7, we find these words. Nehemiah has gotten word about the walls being in debris, had been for over 100 years. The gates have been burned into protection for the city. The people are living in disgrace and disarmed in their city. And Nehemiah, after hearing that, he goes to the Lord and he prays. Listen to Nehemiah's prayer in verse 6 and 7 of chapter 1. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, this day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Notice Nehemiah's prayer. He was confessing his sins, the sins of his people, the sins of his nation. We have dealt corruptly against thee. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, it's time that we take the stand. I believe it's time that we confess the sin. I believe it's time that we recognize what is happening in our nation. I'm reminded of the prayer of Minister Joe Wright just a few years back when he was called to the Kansas State Senate to open in the Senate prayer. Some of you might recall that. It's been a few years back. Caused a lot of ruckus, if you will, in the Senate there in Kansas. They were all upset when he got through praying. Let me read you the words of his prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you today to ask your forgiveness, to seek your direction and guidance, to know what your word says. Woe to those who call evil good. But that is exactly what we have done. We have lost our spiritual equilibrium and reversed our values. We confess that we have ridiculed the absolute truth of your word and called it pluralism. We've exploited the poor and called it lottery. We have rewarded laziness and called it welfare. We've killed our unborn and called it choice. We've shot abortionists and called it justifiable. We have neglected to discipline our children and called it building self-esteem. We have abused power and called it profits. We have coveted our neighbor's possessions and called it ambition. We've polluted the air with profanity and pornography and called it freedom of statement. We have ridiculed the time-honored values of our forefathers and called it enlightenment. Search our hearts, O God. Know our hearts today. Cleanse us from every sin and set us free. Guide and bless these men and women who have been sent to direct us to the center of your will and to openly ask these things in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. May his tribe increase. We need more people that will take that kind of stand and pray that kind of prayer. Historian Will Durant said this: no civilized society has been able to survive in human history that did not have a strong moral code. And we're witnessing that moral code and its destruction and demise in our nation. Finally, not only we see the problem that destroys a nation, the program that defends a nation, but I want us to understand the process that delivers a nation, the process that delivers a nation. Daniel 9, book of Daniel, a wonderful study. Daniel, the 9th chapter, verse 3 and following. Daniel's text says this: "And I set my face unto the Lord God, and to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes, I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him, to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned. We've committed iniquity. We've done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings and to our princes, to our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth to thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as of this day, to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and unto all of Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee." Listen in these final words. First of all, there needs to be convictional prayer. It's not "now lay me down to sleep, and I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." I'm fearful that that's how most Christians pray. In fact, according to George Barna, the average Christian in America today prays less than 3 minutes a day. Less than 3 minutes a day. And yet we say, "God bless America. God deliver us from evil. God protect our nation." It's convictional prayer. America has sinned against God. America has sinned against our families and our nation. May I say to you, we must convictionally pray and seek God's face. We must turn back to God. Daniel did not say, "God, we made a mistake." Daniel said, "God, we have sinned." Now, I don't need anybody to say amen or oh me. Don't need to see a show of hands. But how many have sinned? We've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. How many have said, "Lord, forgive me of my sins"? The only way for salvation is to say, "Lord, I have sinned. I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and save me. Help me to live for you because you died for me." That's the only prayer that saves a human being. We're not saved by being a good person. We're not saved by being Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, any other ism or schism. We're saved by placing our faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone. No other way to heaven but through Jesus Christ. We need to have that convictional prayer. We need to have confessional prayer. Confessional prayer. Daniel said, we've sinned. We've committed iniquity. We've done wickedly. We've rebelled. We've departed from your precepts and your word. We've departed from your judgments. I just made a little margin note. Wow. What could happen in America if we prayed that kind of prayer today and mean it from our hearts? I believe we could see revival in our nation. I believe we could see the potentiality of revival in our world today. Ladies and gentlemen, when it's all said and done, we must take a stand for truth and righteousness. We must say, this is what God's word says, and I'm going to be obedient to his word. One of our sons, Greg, he joins me on the radio broadcast from his home up in the southern tip of heaven called Northeast Tennessee. And he posted this. I'm not a Facebooker, but it was on Facebook. When the leftist governors were engaged in tyrannical COVID church shutdowns, some folks called it submission and quoted Romans 13. As our borders were unlawfully breached by millions, those same folks were quiet on the submit to authority on that part that was said aloud. They said it was welcome to the strangers. Those same folks are often deaf and mute on the before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee part. He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber part. Those same folks don't want Christian influence in the classroom or in the public square, but embrace atheist ideology, immorality throughout the culture. The battle still rages. Where do you stand? He says. Abraham Lincoln, April 30th, 1863, says this, and I close. We've been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We've been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We've grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten his gracious hand, which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. We have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our own hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace. Too proud to pray. Too proud to ask God that made us. It behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness for our nation.
Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM. You're invited to bring your whole family to the Independence Day celebration, Sunday, July 5th at First Conservative Baptist Church. Worship services begin at 10 a.m. There's dynamic preaching by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Great music from the Redemption Call Trio. Then a barbecue lunch for a small donation. Celebrate America's independence. Sunday, July 5th at First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295.
You're listening to The Truth, 91.7 FM.
This is Seeking Him with Nancy DeMoss Wagglemuth.
Years ago, a well-known preacher described a surrender.